Introducing Instagram Teen Accounts, a new way to keep your teen safer as they grow. Like making sure they've got the right gear for riding.
Knee pads.
Check.
And helmet.
Done. See you, Dad.
New Instagram Teen Accounts. Automatic protections for who can contact your teen and the content they can see.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Hoarding. That was only recognised as a mental health condition 10 years ago, and it's why some local authorities in the UK have begun to change their approach to hoarders. Although people who have crammed their house with various objects do create all sorts of health and safety dangers for themselves and others, just clearing out the house is only a temporary solution. Sooner or later, they'll start doing it again. Heather Matwatso is director of a social enterprise called Cloud's End that provides training and works directly with hoarders. Heather, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean.
Typically, if a local authority becomes aware of somebody with a hoarding issue, how do they find out about that? Does the person themselves come forward, or would they be reported by neighbours or whatever?
Usually, the person doesn't self-refer, because hoarding involves a lot of feelings of shame and not really understanding that it is a big issue. So normally referrals come in from adult social care, mental health workers, firefighters, housing officers, but it very rarely comes from the person themselves.
And previously, the approach in many cases to declutter the house, whether the person asked for that or not?
Normally, the approach is sort of a reaction when people, like housing providers, for example, when they come across hoarded properties of theirs, then they will knee-jerk react into, it's got to be cleared, it needs to go now, it's a fire hazard, you are in breach of your tenancy. Some of those things are true, but it's just not the way to operate, because it acts as a punishment, it's a further trauma. The people that you're working with have nearly always been traumatised. And so it just isn't an approach that works, but it's been the only approach that people have had, because there is no, there hasn't been any acknowledgement, and there hasn't been any strategy or anything sort of coming down the line saying this is how we as a local authority will work with people in our area who hoard.
But that is changing a bit. So in the areas where it's being approached as a mental health issue now, how does that approach happen?
So now, although it is a mental health issue and it's a recognised mental health disorder, very often mental health services are the last people to intervene. Not for anything wrong. There's no criticism here. It's just that the education around understanding hoarding is so small that it's only really specialists like myself and the charity Hoarding UK or other social enterprises like mine that really have that sort of know what to do. So we do as much education as we can, including to people in mental health. So now, the project that I run in Birmingham is funded through adult social care, because social workers often encounter hoarding situations. They don't know what to do. They'll sort of escalate it up and find there is no help, and they really don't want their clients to have forced clearances. And so over time, you know, from a little bit from here and somebody asking from there, then certainly in the case of Birmingham, they listened. And then they provided some funding for a project through a specialist organisation like mine.
And people who are hoarding, typically speaking, do they know themselves that there's an issue here, that there's something wrong?
Not directly, because hoarding is a coping strategy. It's something that happens to people to help them through traumatic, usually help them through traumas that they've had in their lives, and so it's a soothing action. We are hunter gatherers, and we are wired to gather, and we get dopamine from gathering, which you know, in the general sense, every salesperson understands this now. Retail therapy is, you know, sort of understood, and so people who hoard have started gathering items around them that makes them feel good. The rest of the world feels very unsafe and not good. And then, of course, somebody comes along and goes, those have got to go. And immediately that person will go back into that flash of fight or flight and the world becomes unsafe again. And so this is why it's so important to understand that as a person who hoards yourself, and understand that there is hope and you can get through this, but it needs to be slow. And you're retraining your own nervous system to allow you to let things go and to allow you to see the world as being safe, not the unsafe place that you've lived in. But it's also really important for anybody that visits your home. So that could be a loved one, but it could also be any external agency that visits you for whatever reason. They also need to understand that they will go into fight or flight if they enter a hoarded home. Because once again, our ancient wiring says a very cluttered environment is dangerous because you can't escape. It's like we're going back beyond the caves. But we still have that wiring. And so we will panic and then it's got to go and we've got to get it cleared and it's a fire hazard. And as I said, all those things can be true, but that isn't going to help.
Yeah. So is it a matter of perhaps addressing the underlying trauma first before one addresses the hoarding?
Well, in a perfect world, that would be fantastic. but I think that's a big ask. So the idea of support groups, so that in the article that was in The Guardian this week, the project in Gloucester is properly addressing this by using support groups. Because support groups get people to talk through their experiences and to experiment and to try out letting things go, but still being able to talk about it. And so it takes a longer time, but it's a new behavior that people are learning. And that's exactly what we're doing in Birmingham as well. We have support groups and we do lots and lots of education for anybody really that will go into a hoarded home.
Yeah, so it's kind of up to the person themselves to start that process of letting things go rather than somebody else doing it for them.
Yeah, it's a much better policy. Unless that person is physically disabled or very unwell, then but they still need to be in agreement. They still need to be part of that process. I mean, it sort of makes sense, really, if we just turn that back on ourselves. Nobody wants somebody to come into their home and determine what they can and can't keep. I mean, that's brutal and awful and, you know, it's never going to be a solution. So the people that do this process, that go through this process, but with support, with understanding, they then learn a new way and life starts to become possible again, whereas before it's just, as I said, it's surviving, it's not thriving.
Mm. Is it analogous in a way to an addiction in the sense that it's not something perhaps one completely gets over, that you need constant support to deal with it?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, from a lot of the people who are in some of my support groups that describe their progress, they then get to maintenance, where they know that they need to keep an eye on if something happens, if a trauma happens, if they have another loss. Then they're, because they have that self-education, they are more aware of themselves. So sometimes there's a gentleman I knew a long time ago. He sort of warned his friends to keep an eye on him. And he said, if you see me doing anything that you think is a bit weird, you know, or levels seem to be going up, please let me know. So he was sort of self-aware enough to say that, because when things happen to you and you go into a state of trauma, your thinking changes, your observational capacity is reduced. And so, and this is, once again, you know, the more you can talk about this to certainly at the beginning to people who have the same issue as you, then the more likelihood you will learn about yourself, but you'll also learn to maintain it. So it's not classified as an addiction, but you're right, it does need acknowledgement.
Heather Motwatso is director of the social enterprise Clouds End. Heather, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.